Well, good evening, and welcome. Well, it's evening where I am. Welcome to the back, the out the back of outside of my place, of my house. And I live here on my own. And I'm playing with my phone. Oh, God. First of all, the reason for my strangeness, such as it is, there are those that will tell you that that's pretty normal, perhaps. But if I don't go to bed tonight, which I am going to very shortly, this will have been day three with no sleep. It's kind of cool that I can do that, it's probably not that good for me. The equipment on which I'm recording this boo, and I'll actually get around to sending this one, is being done with a pair of microphones that were designed and built by a friend of mine, Mr. William Taylor. I've just recently repaired them. They were out of commission for a while, and they're now back in use. And they are connected to a Olympus LS7, which I recently bought from the same individual. I love the pause button. I can cough and make little burpy whirpy sounds and not have to record them, or alas, edit them out afterwards. I just wanted to say that I have listened to some really excellent audio boos from the people that I'm following, and I've given very little, if nothing, in return, to my shame. So I'm going to make an effort to remedy that situation. So for those of you that know very little about me, it's probably good that it stays that way. No, not really. I work as an adaptive technology person for Guide Dogs Queensland. Turn those levels down a bit. For some of the time, that includes not only technology, but we spend a lot of time working with people who are coming to terms with losing what I would call the queen of the senses. And so they're getting used to the idea that they're going to have to live in a similar world to the one that which I have lived all my life, turning a blind eye to everything. When I'm not doing that, I have had some medical issues that I'm also dealing with. And that's a little bit of an ongoing thing from time to time, but I don't need to go on about that. When I feel well, I feel excellent. When I don't, I feel like crap. It's kind of cool because sometimes, feeling really rubbishy and horrible reminds me of how good feeling good feels, if you get my drift. When I'm not working there, I work as a motor mechanic. I'm now called an automotive technician. I like that better. For 2 days a week in a workshop, which is pretty cool. And I'm also a technology head. I fix things. Sometimes I break things. And I enjoy recording and all that kind of stuff. I live on my own. I do have a woman in my life who I'm absolutely hopelessly in love with, and get you know, it's a bit of a no-win situation really, but such is life. Not very much return on my investment in the relationship, but I don't, you know, have really any expectations. I know this, I know what the deal is. So essentially, I guess I'm single. I'd love to be able to ride a motorbike. I said to someone, just digressing, I said to someone the other day, they asked me that, you know, what I would do if I had one day of sight. And I told them that I would go out and get for myself the fastest, most evil Jap bike that money could lay its hands on, and ride it recklessly without a helmet, just for the purpose of being chased and pursued by the cops, just so I could hear the whoo, 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 whoo. And I could go through side streets and just lose them, like they do in the movies. Probably end up in a big at the end, but hey, gotta go with style. I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie from time to time. From the age of 4 years old, my one only desire that I had, you know, the kids want to do stuff, but all I wanted was to have a ride in a washing machine. I reckon that would have been the coolest thing, and I still have fantasies about that. Going, although nowadays it's pretty damn fast. I actually did some maths and I worked out that the centrifugal force that would be exerted on my body being spun at 1450 revolutions per minute would equate to about half a ton of weight. So I'd be dry. That's one thing for certain. Maybe just, you know, if you put me in it, just put it on the slow cycle. So yeah, that's one of my fantasies that I have. I have been skydiving and stuff. Apparently there's this new thing that I want to try out, and it's where they put you in a ball and roll the ball down a hill. That'd be great. I love any of those rides that, you know, spin you around and tip you upside down and empty all the money out of your pocket. And on one occasion, my two artificial eyes went and popped out of the sockets. So I think I caused one of the ride attendants a lifelong psychological disorder to deal with when I asked him to go and get them for me. I'm a bad man. One of my teachers told me that, I remember at school telling me that I had a little of the devil in me, but I think I correct that. I think there's a little, tad more than just a little. I'm the kid that sanded across the grain in the woodwork class because my teacher specifically told me not to. I got a few whacks on the backside with a ruler for doing that, but it didn't seem to stop me. I could do it today and sell it as abstract art or something and make $500,000. Yeah. A picture of a moment through the eyes of a blind man. I could sell that for good money. What am I doing fixing cars? So thanks, guys, for the little podcasts and that you, audio boos that you send of moments of your life and what those things that interest you. And they're all good. I've listened to every one of them and enjoyed them. So hopefully I can do something in return. Where I'm standing at the moment is I have in front of me a glass table with lots of things all over it. Various stages of repair and disrepair and stuff. I do succumb occasionally to the trusty old cigarette. But I'll edit out the cigarette smoke from the recording, so don't worry about that. And this area out here is where I do a lot of thinking and writing and sometimes a bit of weeping. Not for myself, but with myself, if you know what I mean. I'm very moved by the moment of things. I've become quite a, you know, the little moment that passes by matters. I didn't used to so much for me now, but it does, and I like the Haroon today much more than the one that I did years ago. And it's a good peaceful feeling. It did rain today, but I think I need to turn the sprinkler on just for the purpose of the recording, so I'll face the garden, the tap behind my back, and I'll go. There it is, once the little airlocks get out of the system. So basically it's a little main hose that runs the length of the garden with these little sprinkler nozzles out of it. Turn off now. Train going at a hell of a rate of knots. It's really interesting when you listen to yourself, you know, listening as a through the monitor, and you've got mics. Everything seems incredibly louder than what it truly is. Because you know them. And sorry about that. I have the microphones clipped through these little loops on my about shoulder level on my shirt, and there's this little, I don't know what the purpose of them are. I think they're just a decorative thing, but they're really good for clipping the mics, because the mics end up, you know, just at shoulder level, just below my ears, but the shirt itself goes, and of course the mic picks that up. I'm quite impressed with this recorder. It seems to be recording quite well. I've got the microphone level setting on middle attenuation, and the levels at about halfway. My other recorder, which I also use often, that I like, is my it was born as an iRiver H340, I did some modifications to it over the years. I put a 2200 milliamp battery in it, which replaced the original 1100 milliamp battery, so which required just a small modification on the inside of the case. It's unseen to the eye. The battery was a bit thicker, so I had to just shave a little off the inside cover so as I could, you know, squeeze the cover back together. And the other thing that I did was, when they had a problem, the Toshiba 40 gig drives that were supplied, there were two issues of the drive that was fitted to those units, and the earlier ones that spun at 3200 revolutions per minute, the ones, if any of you had iRivers, the ones that went, that made that kind of sound, used to suffer from after a while, they used to start getting cyclic redundancy errors all over the drive, and they start going. And it was often right in the middle of something that you wanted to keep. And I went through two of those. But then I sat at this very table one night and made a SIF connector that allowed me to plug in a iPod drive, which I ran for a while, but now I have a 120 gig SDD in there. So essentially, there's no more moving parts in it, and the power requirements are far less. So now I get about 50 hours of straight listening off it, and it is still my favourite. I use Rockbox, and it is still my favourite recorder, because of all of the recorders I've played with, I must say this one here is not too bad. When I walk up against a wall, you can sort of hear how close I am. I'm just my nose is just about to touch this brick wall. There's probably a spider there. Woke up one morning and there's a bloody spider sitting on my cheek. And, yeah, that was a moment where everyone else went, but I didn't. I just grabbed hold of it and took it outside and flicked it away, and it went. Yeah, and so the iRiver has this ability to record realism. It's a bit like, I guess, to a sighted person, it would be like high definition, reproduction. A good high definition monitor, as opposed to just a normal, mid-definition kind of thing. And I hear it. And it was a good book. I liked it, but I've used it a lot, and I noticed the line-in/microphone socket is starting to get all loose, so the plugs are all sort of, just when I move. I think it's starting to. I refuse to let it die. It was given to me by an ex-girlfriend of mine who gave it to me as a present. And the night she gave it to me, I took it all out of its packaging, and then unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to me for a few hours anyway, I threw the iRiver away in the rubbish, the packaging, for some reason. And I didn't know until about 2 o'clock in the morning, which was about an hour before the garbage truck was about to come and take it all away. And so that was a little bit of a, and she got really cut about it. She goes, "Oh, I give you a present and you throw it away." Well, I said, "Well, I wasn't thinking. Oh, it was an accident." She goes, "How could you do something like that as an accident?" Well, unbeknownst to me, that was the preliminary warning sign that I had that I was about to have a big fat brain tumour in my head. And I started to do little funny things, and I had, these little unexplained sensations that I'd get. Like one morning when I was shaving, and for about a minute I forgot that what I was holding in my right hand was a razor. I actually forgot, I lost the ability to be able to recognise what it was. And I could put it in my other hand and recognise it as a shaver, but I put it back in my right hand, and I couldn't recognise it. And then it would just, and the kind of momentary loss of brain function would just sort of just go and just come back. And of course it kind of rattled me a bit inside, but I didn't do a lot about it. I thought, oh, it'll go away. Until one day something else happened that I couldn't avoid. And there began that story. It's surprisingly noisy for this time of night. It's, what is the time? I don't know.
11.
Oh, what is the time? It was 11 something.
Screen locked. 11:15 p.m.
There you go. One press of the power button on the iPhone. Tell me that. So there's about, you know, 20 minutes or so of some moments of my life. And, you know, I still don't feel tired. But I know that I've really got to go to bed because, you start to lose the, what I call the barrier that defines truth and fiction. In other words, dreams / reality. So what can sometimes happen is if I'm getting overtired, I will start to have this kind of brief sort of thought process that goes on and say, now, did that person really talk to me? Or, you know, did I actually really start falling over that embankment and somersault through the air? Or was that just a dream? Am I really in that washing machine? Or is it just wishful thinking? Yes. Well, I will do another... I was going to use the Audio Boo application on the iPhone/iPad, but, you know, without getting some sort of a Fostex or some kind of interface that will allow me to plug stereo mics into the thing, if I've just got to say some note or something, you know, it doesn't worry me, but hell, I record everything in stereo. Record, you know, the toilet in stereo. I mean, you know, and I've got some pretty cool recordings. I recorded myself at the dentist getting a filling fixed. And I just, you know, microphones and / recorder are just part of my daily attire. I just have to press one button and I can record. So sometimes I'll just record in you know, pretty much the entire day of what I'm doing. So I've got hundreds and hundreds of hours of recording of just me waffling on and talking about, you know, just what I'm thinking about, you know, what's going through my head. I find that because I am a bit of a talky person, I like talking, I find that recording is also a bit therapeutic. I can actually have some dialogue with myself and be funny about it and be animated with it when I know that I'm recording and I know that I'm listening to myself doing it. It's a bit like I'm talking to the second person. I've just got to kind of share them with other people, but some of the recordings go for 6 hours long. So I've got to sit down and do some serious editing. Cut them down a bit. I mean, you know, there are long moments where I'm just sitting there playing with things. I made a contact mic of sorts, and I've made recordings of it, you know, down the drain, inside things. I put two contact mics in the engine bay of Vicky's mother's car, and we went for a drive. And you think cars are nice and quiet when you sit in the passenger cabin, but you sit under the bonnet. Boy, oh boy. they've got some pretty good quality insulation now that makes explosions that happen in, you know, controlled situation and over again, you know, each of a motor is an actual explosion of, you know, a burst of fuel, and that fuel gets exploded under controlled situations, and thus, you know, each pushes something mechanical along one step, and you know, when you have a few thousand of those a minute, you get, you know, but you know, they've got all these deadening and stuff, and it's, you know, controlled in such a way that, you know, all that kind of explosion and stuff is happens inside the motor. They're an incredible thing, you know. Like, I just think all, you know, machines that have designed to perform some sort of function. I mean, like, when you think of a car, and because I know the intricacy of them, you know, and I see the recklessness that, you know, of people that drive them, that let them go to such dilapidated condition, you know, like, I've seen cars where this woman brought the car in, and I heard it coming up the driveway, and it was all, you know, when she's pulling up, and she says to me, oh, I want to have it tuned up, the motor's not very good. She goes, you know, the motor sort of, you know, misses and just doesn't sort of perform very well. And I said, and when she left, just, you know, as a matter of course, I just jumped into the driver's seat to start up and have a listen to it, and I just put my foot on the brake pedal, and it just went and went straight to the floor, the first pump. And I said, I said to her, so you're not concerned about the vehicle's ability to stop, you just want it to go, is that right? And she goes, oh, I haven't got much time to worry about it. And I just happened to reach around, and I felt the front of a baby capsule that was sitting behind me with a baby in it. And, you know, I thought, well, some people, I don't get angry very easy. But that was one of these situations that I wasn't angry at the person, but I was just angry at the blatant stupidity of what she had done. And so when I kind of put things into perspective and explained to her that, you know, it's pretty miraculous that, you know, you can have cars that are travelling at, you know, 60 mile an hour / 100 kilometres an hour, and they do it, you know, with such, you know, it's like a dance, you know, for a blind person, you don't kind of think about the idea that, wow, you know, we're sort of, you know, cruising along at, you know, 100 kilometres per hour or 60 miles an hour, and you could wind down your window and reach out and touch the mirror of a car that's doing the same speed right beside you. And all it would take is a momentary, you know, accidents are caused not by wrong decision, but they're caused by indecision. They're caused by two people interpreting a choice slightly differently. And that is the thing that autonomous vehicles will not do. You know, what happens is you get a situation like, you know, there's a the amber light, you know, at the intersection that says prepare to stop, you know, in any moment now this light is going to go red, and when it's red your wheels have to not be turning at all. But they go, ah, yeah, you know, I think I'll make that. Yeah, what the hell? And they go, and halfway through the intersection, they look out to the side. They go, oh, shit, cops. And they jump on the brakes. And the person that's behind them, who's only half concentrating because they're, you know, either sending a text message or trying to play off the radio or doing something, suddenly realises, hell, And so they jump on the brakes and don't give themselves enough time, and then you have two big pieces of metal bashing together really hard. And that's where people get hurt. You know, there's something about sight that seems to promote this kind of recklessness that, you know, they think that, and road rage. As a blind person, it's easy to know whose fault it is. If the driver of the vehicle that I'm in beeps or reacts to some stupid choice, I know that it's the other person's fault. But if someone beeps at at my driver and my driver doesn't say anything, I know whose fault it is then. I do a fair bit of taxi travel, and some of the drivers are, I'm absolutely perplexed about how they actually achieved a driver's license. Somehow they learned to pass the test and got their license. I would be an extremely good driver if I could see. I know some people that, you know, become one with their driving experience, and you can just tell there's synergy between them and the vehicle. They just kind of, there's this quiet sort of communication. They just work, you know, their gear changes are smooth. They still get there on time, even though there's lots of traffic or no traffic. You know, they just, but anyway, how did I get on that subject? Oh yeah, that car that went... Anyway, the end of that story, I actually did fix that, because I refused to let that car go in the state that it was in. And what it was that all the brake assembly that held all the brakes together was... there was a couple of bolts missing, and that someone had put it together wrong. That's the other thing you see a lot of. And it was just by good luck rather than good management that she didn't, come to grief. But I wouldn't be able to sleep that night if I knew, you know, if I let it go like that. She was pretty angry with me, but I think she was more angry at the situation that, you know, she didn't have a car, so she couldn't get... You know, she couldn't pick the kids up at 2:45, because she was supposed to be at the workshop at, 8:25 in the morning, but she'd rocked up at 11 o'clock because she wanted to have a, you know, catch up with somebody for a cuppa and stuff. But she still wanted it fixed by 2:30. And I said, no. I said, and she said, well, I'll go somewhere else then if you can't do it by then. I said, well, yeah, that's your prerogative. But I said, I know where you're going to take it. And I said, what you don't know is that that guy farms a lot of his stuff that he can't get done in time to us, because we're just up the road. And we fix it for him and bill him, and he then bills you. And so she goes, oh, so are you telling me that sometimes you don't fix the car, you send it to someone else? And I say, yeah, sometimes we do that. Because sometimes we just, you know, something goes wrong, something unexpected happens, and we can't keep the commitment that we made to you. And woe betide a sighted person not having their motor vehicle. But anyway, thank you for listening, if you did. If you were bored with it, that's okay too. I'm going to press the stop button. I think, I'm not sure about the, I think you can actually record for an hour now. I saw on the status bar of the updated Audioboo application that it said, you know, time left 1 hour. I thought it was 30 minutes when you have a premium. And that was the other thing. I'd bought a premium account and this is now the second year. I've never put a boo on there. I'm meaning to, but anyway. So here, have a boo. By the time I put it there, it'll probably be the morning, but it doesn't really matter. I'll do an audio tour of my house and show you all the things that I've got that are really quite cool. So, take care. I just did something really silly. I just realised. For the last 10 minutes, I have had a cigarette, don't tell anyone, in my hand, which I hadn't lit yet, because I was going to wait until I'd finished this recording before I did that. And I just pulled out another one. So I've got one in each hand, and so I'm going to very gently coax this one back in the box. That I should be strong and put them both in the box, shouldn't I? But I suppose I could get one lighter in each hand and go. I don't know if I've got two of them here. Hang on a second. I'll put that down for a sec. Have I got two? Have I got two for this audio boo? Yes, I have. Look, so now I can go. I can do this. I can go. Oh, this one doesn't. There. I'd like to be able to... and do, you know, turn it into something. A lot of these iPad, you know, GarageBand and some of these other little sequency sort of, you know, programs that are now accessible really cheaply are really fun to play with. The only thing I don't like about the whole iOS idea approach about you know, saving the file, you know, you can record, like, you know, this Songify and all these sort of programs that basically vocode your voice and sync it to, you know, a song. So you can't just offload the file and, you know, you have to transmit it to, you know, a bloody server via a Facebook portal or something, and you know, so, and then, you know, you send someone, but all you're sending them is the freaking link to the file that's, you know, stored on some dodgy Facebook page somewhere, or, you know, social network page, and then you have to have that app to play it. So I don't let them do that. I just use Audio Bus and just take the played result off onto the Mac or something and work on it there. So, before I go off on yet another tangent, farewell for now.